Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
All right. I think we're on 10 o'clock. I know a lot of people are driving home. I'm sitting in my living room, depressed. 2-0. It's even worse when your wife laughs at you because she knows it's true. Let's see. I think getting everybody on 2-0, y'all. Nashville came in and they did it. They did it to us. Hani Mukhtar, of course. He just loves to do it. He gets us that second goal, first goal. He gets the assist on, and you know, arguably, probably shouldn't have even been a goal. The ball never stops. And tomato, tomato. If it would have happened for us, I would have been happy. If it happens against us, I'm pissed off about it, but whatever. 2-0. Home loss, Nashville. Are you there, Eddie?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you guys
hear me? There, man. You were at the stadium, right? You're in the car. Drive safe. How are we feeling?
Yeah, you know, I don't like losing at home, and it's the second one in a row. Charlotte was 2-0 as well, right? If I remember, I'm not sure if we got one back. I don't know, but we were down 2-0, and you know, it's not a good feeling. I've said it before that overall as a fan base, we focus on results, not performances a lot, right? And we just see results, and oh, that means we won. That means we're good. Lost, it means we suck. I don't think it was a bad performance today. I think the result was worse than the performance. I thought we were on the front foot a lot. We just didn't execute. I'm going to give a little bit of a pass, say, you know, they're still, you know, we changed formation again. And you know, so it's still a lot of matter of chemistry. Just, you know, a Ramiro layoff is just a little behind. A Mauricio, a little behind. And just a couple touches. You just... a couple things, and that kept us from really, you know, just winning this match. And Ramiro had a real good chance in the box and just hit it right at Smith. And just in both boxes, both, you know, 18-yard boxes is where we lost the match. We didn't get enough. We didn't create enough tough chances. Smith really just had to make kind of one good save, more or less, and then we had a couple, you know, defensive blunders. So both of the Nashville goals were crappy goals. To be fair, the Pedro stopped one that should have been a goal on Mukhtar. But I mean, Rodrigo and Pedro kind of crashed, and the ball, you know, squeaked through. Pedro normally gets that, and then the first one was just, you know, the Jansen got caught sleeping, which is the second time that. That play was exactly what Enzo, whatever his name is, you know, Enzo Cannoli or whatever, did against us with Charlotte, over the top, over past Jansen. That's something that needs to be addressed. And then Rodrigo and Jansen were kind of both there, and neither one of them managed to get in Fafa Pico's way, and Pedro was stuck on an island. Those are goals that in my opinion, were just blunders. So I don't think we got, like, cut up or anything like that. And being countered on is going to happen when you're a little more front foot, which is what I've been asking for. I'd rather lose this 2-0 than to get pelted with like 20 shots and then lose like 1-0. Because if we would have been a little more clinical, we would have just been more ruthless in the 18-yard box. I think we could have gotten a result. I don't know if we deserved to win the match. We could have got a result. And yeah, and then there's the controversy with the dead ball situation with Mukhtar in the first goal. I mean, he spun that ball. If that ball stopped, it was like for a millisecond. It's like when you see a Bruno Fernandes or Nani or Gabriel Jesus today, when they do those penalties, you're not supposed to stop. If you really slow it down, they're not really stopping. You know, it looks like they are. That ball, maybe if you slow it down, and maybe it stopped for half a second. But we've seen refs any time of the day, any game, any match, call that dead and start over. And so that was just a bit of bad luck on that one. The refs are why we lost, though, because we had other chances and we still should have done better on that goal, in my opinion. I'm not blaming the refs, but I'm saying all in all, if you put it in context, I don't think it was a bad performance. But again, we need to score goals. This is two games in a row where we're getting outscored at home. and we still have the issue of scoring goals. And you create all the chances in the world, but you need to put them away, and they need to just work on that. And that's been an issue for a couple of years now, where even when you see chances, the few chances need to be converted, and they're not. And then if we come out hot in that first 15, 20 minutes. If we don't get a goal then someone scores a crap goal on us, and then it changes the game dynamics. And then now we're chasing the game, and a team like Nashville, they're going to catch you on the counter, and it plays into their strengths. So, I don't know. I'm done rambling. Sorry.
What I want to highlight is you say it's been happening in a few years, and I agree. It's you know, even when we start to see the progress, you know, and it's not always bunkering. It's we have some attacking power, and we're going forward, and it's just not clinical enough. It doesn't ever look sharp enough. It doesn't ever look good enough.
Right.
No matter how much money we spend on the attack or how much, you know, they invest, it's never.
You can't blame anybody but Ramiro. That shot to Smith, you can't blame anybody but him on that. But he should have made that. But also, the thing is, our guys are cold too when it comes to shots. Besides Ojeda, who pelted a couple that could have gone in. When Ramiro's getting one shot on goal, like nobody's 100%. No one is 75%. You know, Mukhtar led the league in goals last year, but he led the league in attempts too. He took vastly more attempts than Kata and a bunch of other people. His conversion was comparable to Kata's conversion. It's just he takes so many chances and takes a vast majority, more than any other player in the league's majority of that team's shots. So, yeah, Ramiro missed, but how many shots did he take? So the issue we have is that even when we're on the front foot, we're not creating a ton of chances. We're not getting reps to shoot. So the guys have to be one for one or one for two, and that's just not realistic. If people were that clinical, they wouldn't be in MLS most of the time, you know. So it's just that's part of the issue, in my opinion.
Yeah, and last week we were that clinical for the first 10 minutes, and we had a 2-0 lead, and then this week we weren't clinical, and we're down 2-0. You know, and I think honestly the Mukhtar thing that was a bunch of a load of BS, because if we're being honest, we've seen that called numerous times all the time back against us. They frequently, when the ball's still moving, it's not uncommon to see the ref call the ball back. You know, that at the very least should have been reviewable. And if they would have reviewed it, it would have easily been called back 100 out of 100 times. So I don't know if it's reviewable or not, but, I mean, even on the broadcast they were talking about it, they were saying it's that they don't think the goal should have counted it. The ball was still moving, and it was clear as day, you know. Pinto, he's always doing that. He's one of the notorious ones for being not a good referee, you know, missing the big calls and then making the little calls about himself. So
he lost control of the game too. There was hand fighting. And Nashville, trash, which is a disgusting – they play in a disgusting way, in my opinion. I mean, it's just the long ball with a header behind or whatever. I mean, they're well-drilled at it. But, I mean, it looks like the team rehearses how to, you know – crap house, right? Like every possible thing they do, whether it's just, you know, diving, whether it's you know, you're gonna throw the ball in bounds, you push it away, or you have every single possible opportunity to do something to delay the game, they do it. I just don't respect that. I don't mind the waiting and delaying. There are times for the dark arts. Everybody does it. It's not the point. It's the magnitude of how often, and that's just the team's identity. And it's an annoying team. They're unattractive, and they just do all of that stuff. And going back to the clinical finishing, Philadelphia should have been 3-4-0 at one point. You know, 4-1. You know, Ojeda at the end of the game, Ramiro in on goal. If we would have been more clinical, we should have ran them out of the park. We went away with a 2-1 with Mason making some big saves. We almost drew to a non-full-strength Philly team because we lacked clinicality in the final third last match, too. We won, but again, performances matter, not just results. The performance was, we got two good – we were clinical on two shots early on, but after that, it was Brick City, and we almost lost, we almost dropped 2 points because of it.
Yeah, well, we got – I mean, it's just what's more, I saw somebody put in consistently inconsistent, lose against Charlotte at home, snap Philly's 24 match unbeaten streak at home, lose again at home to Nashville. And it's just another frequent thing that we've seen, I don't know, for the last 2 or 3 years, just not been good at home. We just haven't been good enough, and it's not good. It's not fun, you know, and it doesn't sell seats, zero goal performance, doesn't get people in. Losing 2-0 to a team like Nashville, like you said, Eddie, that just makes the game just grungy and makes it just not, you know, spectacular to watch. Even when they score goals, it's just like you said, it's kind of, you know, bump and go. It's not nothing, you know, to drop your jaw at, you know, it's nothing crazy. So I don't know. To me, it's a disappointing result because, you know, you take 2 steps backwards, you lose to Charlotte, you take 2 steps forward, and then now, I don't know. This seems like a lot of step backwards again. I just, it's going to ignite more people again to being upset. You know, you just can't continuously lose at home and expect things not to change. I mean, I just think that that's crazy. I think it's psychotic. I think, you know, I don't care how good the results are on the road, you're always going to say, well, what could have been if we were actually good at home? There's no reason not to be good at home. We're playing in Orlando. It's hot. It's humid. There should be an advantage there. There's not. There hasn't been for years. So I think that needs to be figured out. Ryder, how you doing, my brother? Are you there, man?
I've been better. Just kind of channeling my anger into doing dishes, but the long and the short of it is it wasn't enough, and someone needs to check our Wikipedia page because I'm scared Mukhtar might be the new owner and the Wolves are out because it just keeps happening. And unfortunately, we didn't play to what they were going for, and a lot. I saw a couple people say after the first goal, "Oh, they're gonna bunker, and it's gonna be a 1-0 win for Nashville." But it got even worse, and they got that second goal, and that's not great for the goal differential in the long run. It's not great for playing behind in the first half. We just didn't have it. I don't know what else to say other it wasn't a good match. We didn't have the chances we had last week. It's and the funny thing is everyone keeps talking about the overall we're not doing well at home thing. That's not because the fan base isn't showing up. I mean, at least on TV tonight, Eddie, correct me if I'm wrong, but everyone was super into the match tonight. It's just a matter of the players aren't able to respond on the field. And that's not necessarily an at-home thing. It's just statistically, we're not looking good at home. So I don't know.
The fans were there loud. It was a good crowd. It's true.
There was a good crowd, but the crowd also started walking out after the first goal, from what I heard. So, or was it the first goal?
Sorry.
No, apparently I got muted.
Oh, sorry about that. My bad.
Was it the first goal or the second goal that people started walking out?
More after the second goal. I wanted
Oh, you
to.
can't.
But, you know, the thing is, to be honest, if they were down a goal, it's, you know, I mean, it's hard, you know, it's hard for us to get 2 goals.
Not something we can blame the fan base on. It's more, I heard the word earlier, clinicality, I think it was. That's the word that comes to mind. So it is what it is. We have to look better. We've got 2 more home matches in April. We've got a break this week. We have to make the use of all of that. But at the same time, discussions are going to start to be had if we aren't making points, especially on matches that we should be winning on paper. So it's and it's not like people were out of the lineup either. So
Yeah, I mean, Nashville is a good team, you know, and they have been a good team. And Mukhtar, he haunts us. He's always very good against us, and they always are good against us at home too. But you know, it's you we changed a lot of things this year. A lot of stuff has changed this year, and then you still see the same things occurring. And I know Cleon's not here, but I know that he would say the same thing. And I'm not, you know, I'm not diving in and saying, you know, Poppy out or Poppy in. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying that a lot of the players have changed, but somehow we have the same problems that we've had year after year after year. They're consistent issues, you know, and it's not that we didn't win tonight. Like you said, Eddie, it's not that we didn't win or we didn't even get a result, whatever. It's just how that we just don't finish the opportunities when we have. Last week we did, you know, and it was great. The guys looked like they were feeling free, but this week they didn't, you know, and Angulo had a good chance, and, you know, Ojeda had a decent chance, you know, obviously, Ramiro, he had the best chance, right? But, you know, there was chance all around. Duncan had a good chance. I mean, he had a nice header opportunity. You know, that went down just right at the keeper. They have a good keeper too. Their keeper's tied with, he was tied tonight before tonight with Pedro for most clean sheets in the league. So they don't have, you know, some joke of a defense. You know, Walker Zimmerman's good. They're a good team, and I'm not, you know, I'm not pissed off in any way that we lost. I'm just disappointed because I think we were all worried that we would play a certain way tonight. We all were. I feel like there's not a lot of things that we can agree on, you know, a lot of people in the world, just people in general, even OC Twitter. But I think we all agreed that the last result was a positive result, you know, at Philly. You have a great momentum. You snapped their streak. But then in the back of our minds, we were all kind of worried that this would happen. And then it did. It came to fruition. And we're back square, whatever. You know, I could say square one, maybe square two. But we're not square where we want to be, that's for sure. So I know there's a few people that have requested to speak. We want to have as many people as we can request to speak. We'd love to hear that. So we got our venting out of the way. We want to hear you guys vent now. I know, NJ, you had requested first, so we'll get to you. My man, NJ Tommy, go ahead and unmute yourself. How are you feeling about the maybe possibly a step back, right, tonight against Nashville 2-0. How are you feeling, NJ?
Yeah, cheers, guys. I'll be honest, I sort of saw this coming when I woke up this morning. I really did, because every man and his dog knows how Nashville set up, really. We all know what their game plan is. They'll sit back, they'll press fairly high up the pitch, see if they can win the ball back and then counter, but they're not a team that's going to dominate the ball. And how Cincinnati played against them last week is pretty much the best way to play against Nashville, because they're not built to keep the ball, they're not built to break a team down. The way we played tonight basically played into their hands, because they've got a rock-solid defense. You pointed out how they've got the most clean sheets in the league. And we don't have a finishing touch, really. Like, there will be some nights where we can get the final pass right, but the finishing touch wrong. And then there are other abysmal nights where we just don't even have the final ball. I've suppressed some feelings about Pareja for a while, and I'm not necessarily Pareja out, but I said it in a group chat earlier. I said about Pareja earlier, I think he's taken this team as far as he can, and that's no real disrespect to him, because what he's done since he's taken over is, it's much better than anything a lot of us could have dreamed about given the 5 years prior to him. But at the end of the day, he's a very pragmatic manager, a very defensive manager, and given the attacking talent that we've got, I just don't think he's going to maximize. He's just not going to get everything out of them. He's not going to get everything out of a Facundo Torres or a Martin Ojeda. He's too defensive a manager for that.
Yeah, I mean, that he's coached a lot of games, he's managed a lot of years, and his top goal scorer is 12, you know, and 12 goals in the season. So he's won that way. He won a supporter shield, you know, and he's won. We won the Open Cup. He's won tournaments that way. We are a tough team to beat. But the problem is when you play a team like Nashville, who is also a very tough team to beat, they play a similar team or a similar style. It's kind of like who scores first. And then it's just even more impossible after you go down, especially at home. You know, you obviously are pushing, but you're almost, against a team like Nashville, you just know Mukhtar hasn't scored all year. I mean, that's the first thing they said when they came on. You're just like thinking to yourself, come on. You know it's going to happen, and we all kind of felt it. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with everything that you said. We have a ton of attacking talent, and we want to see it maximized. You know, that's what we hear about all these stats and all these, dollars that are being spent and all the chemistry that should be there and, people who have played together before. And you want to see it come to fruition. You hope and pray that it does, and then you get 10 minutes like last week where you're like, wow, this is what it can be. And then, you go the whole games like today where you don't see it. Eric, how you feeling, my man?
Hey, feeling disappointed, but, my wife and I were in town from North Carolina and went to the game and had a good time and had some nice weather. So that was great, but, and had a good time at the game, but disappointed in the result, obviously. Usually I would say, hey, there's a lot of attacking promise there. We were taking the ball forward and it's a good loss. But I think actually in this match, we just played into Nashville's game plan because they're good at sitting back, absorbing pressure. They have a 6'7" goalkeeper, 2'6'5" or 6'3" center backs, and not a lot is gonna hurt them on crosses coming into the box or really anything but really precise passing. So I think that we actually played into their game plan, and that was the big reason why we had so much possession without a bite over there. I kind of would have liked us almost to sit back and say, hey, Nashville don't want the ball, but let's make them have it and then counter. But I'm not a tactician and don't get paid for that. So the last thing I'll say, guys, is I don't know if you noticed, but when we were walking out, we were in section 32 and there were a lot of boos when we were walking out, which I was really surprised to hear, but I don't know if you guys heard that, anybody else in the stadium. But despite the loss, guys, had a great time being around the fans and seeing the boys anyways. So I'll take my comments off.
Thanks for coming out, Eric, and talking again. And we'd love to have your participation. I'm glad you're able to make it in to the match. And sorry it wasn't the result that you deserved and that the fans deserve. And honestly, the boos are – I never want to say they're warranted, but I've been, I was in high school, little anecdote about me, and I was a sophomore in high school, and me and my buddy, we went and got season tickets to the Magic, and I got a family member passed away, and I got like a couple $1,000 inheritance. I literally spent it all on season tickets, and then I got my first job just so I could pay for my season tickets, and I've been a season ticket holder for, or organization in Orlando, whether it be the Magic or the Orlando City, for a long time. And it's not uncommon for people to boo the fan, to boo the team in a crappy performance, and it's being at a Magic game and the team down by 25 at halftime, they're getting booed going into halftime. And if they don't, the fans don't care. They're not watching. To me, if the fans aren't booing after a performance like tonight at home, after last week, you fully expect and hope and want to take more steps forward. The team that they've built, we want them to be better than what they showed tonight.
Yeah.
And we know they can be better. So it's the most frustrating thing to me is that, I hope people don't look at the boos in a negative way. Now, once people start banging on doors and, you know, yelling at coaches and arguing with coaches, you know, that's a load of bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a boo is that's a protest, you know, that's a collective voice together coming together and saying, we're unhappy with this performance. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think, you know, there's, you know, people can say that I would be lying to say if I didn't think about this before that obviously, you know, there was a Twitter conversation about negativity and if that was an issue with it, with why we suck so bad at home. But these guys, look at our roster. I mean, look at where these guys are playing before they came here.
Yep.
These guys are playing in some of the most hostile environments on the planet in South America. And Copa Libertadores are playing in all sorts of insane environments.
Yeah.
You know, you should see the buses, the roads that these people, these teams drive down. You know, you want to talk about danger? You want to talk about hostile? You know, our guys go with a police escort down Orange Ave. it's no big deal. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. I'm with you 100%, and I'm, you know, I think I'm glad that there were boos. You know, I'm glad. I hope that the team hears it. I hope Poppy hears it. I hope the organization hears it. And, you know, it's one thing if it was, you know, this week, but it's not. It's been, you know, it's 45-50 games of performances like this. And, you know, even our Open Cup run, guys, we were squeaking some results out. You know, we forget that it took penalties and a last second shot from Facundo to squeak that stuff out. Yeah, exactly. So
every game at home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There are some truths to that. So
yeah, Alex, I'm gonna jump in there kind of the boos. One thing is the boos when it comes to sports in America, the prevailing soccer is not a sport for, like, it's not the working man, every man sport like it is in other countries, right? So it's just kind of unconditional support, you know what I call the soccer mom culture. If you boo, it doesn't mean you hate your team. It's just you're demanding more. The same people who boo will cheer, and it's not hypocrisy. That's just normal fandom. People need to get over that completely, in my opinion. Yes, every time I've had conversations with people who work for the team, when it comes to anything that's boo related or pressure, they laugh. They're like, bro, I'm from Brazil. I'm from Argentina. I'm from Colombia. Mauricio played in Russia. If you don't make sounds or boo or something, that's weirder to them than booing them. You know, so just, I'm not saying to boo them. I'm just saying express yourself how you feel like it. And in regards to the style of play today, you know, it's ironic because we want, you know, we were clamoring to be more front foot, but like was previously stated, NJ Tommy, absolutely right that Nashville is a team where they don't want the ball. They don't care. They were just setting up to counter and you know, they Brexit ball their way to, you know, to goals. That's how they play always. And this was the time where Poppy needed, if he would have played like he normally plays, it would have been like 0-0 or 1-0 instead of probably the result today. But he's in a pickle at the same time because he's trying to build chemistry. Yeah, it looks like he's decided, you know, based on the last few games, I think, that we're going to be a little bit more attacking minded. And we got Ojeda and Ramiro, those guys. And then you want to practice that and drill that. And some managers are just like, I'm going to play the way I play. I don't really care how you set up. That's not an uncommon thing. So he was kind of stuck in a position where, do I lay off and let Nashville have the ball because it's better against them, or do we just continue to work out the wrinkles, you know, having a little more possession, being a protagonist, being on the front foot? So he, you know, obviously he chose to, you know, keep working at it and try to play the style he wanted to, regardless of the defense, but, you know, or who he was playing. And it just ended up, we got countered on and we're sending in crosses to 5'7" Angulo and whatever 5'9" Ramiro to two giants, the best guy in the air in the whole league, the guy who did well in the air in the World Cup on Walker Zimmerman, you know. So it ultimately played in, but it's a tough position where Oscar's in because it seems to be there's an intentionality in the way he's trying to play, and sometimes you just are going to double down and play that way until, you know, your team gets well drilled at it. And if it costs you a game here and there, and it's just a matter of lack of execution. And today it was a matter of lack of execution. It didn't work, yes, because we lost and we got countered, but both goals were preventable and with just normal defense, and there were chances to equalize. If Ramiro makes that goal, it's 1-1. It changes the dynamic. I would have probably seen us go for the tie at that point. But nonetheless, we have trouble scoring. I said it before the game today. Whoever scores first is going to win this game, because whoever scores, period, is going to win the game, is what I said. And then that was the case. So, anyways. All right, guys.
No lies detected. We got some results coming in, or some requests coming in. I'm going to try and go in order as how they came in. I know, Corey, I think you were first, my man. And then I think it was Fan TV. And then Ruckus Johnny. But Corey, unmute. What's up, my man? How we feeling?
I'm actually not very upset about today's match. Personally, this is just how we play against Nashville. It's, Nashville's a tough defensive team, and I think, you know, you guys said it right. The team that probably scores first in a game like this is probably the team that wins. And, the problem and the thing where the frustration comes is we have created such little margin of error. And by little, I mean almost zero. I mean, we go to the point to where we give up a goal now, and I think, well, great, the match is over. Or, the only thing I can hope for is a tie. I think that's a lot of where the frustration comes from me, is that it's been an issue that we've had. And, you know, I saw all of the moves that we made in over the offseason, and I got really excited, and I was like, oh, finally, we're bringing attacking power in, and we're going to have, we're going to have the opportunity every day to go for it and really go for these goals and go for wins. And, you know, I hate to say it, I think I'm going to have to end up lowering my expectations now, again, as a fan. And I didn't want to do that because I was really excited about the attacking power that we brought in. But this is just who we are. You know, this is how we play. It's who we are until we decide that we want to make a change. And I hate to say that. I'm not a poppy out guy either. But it's just very clear that this is what we are when it comes to offensive power. Right now, it doesn't look like Falcao and Ojeda and Mauricio feel very comfortable and know how to play with each other. It fears evident. I mean, I really felt like the most dangerous point of the game was the first 20 minutes. And then at half, Falcao came in and it changed a little bit of the feel of the game. And to be honest with you, I didn't think it was for the better. I like Falcao. I enjoy watching him play. But it just didn't feel like we had much flow. And then for me, it kind of killed the momentum of the game. At this point, you know, you're almost 10 matches into a season, you know, not just like an MLS season, but with CONCACAF and everything like that. You know, this is stuff that you should have figured out better by now. And unfortunately, I just, you know, it's a sad state, but it goes to where, like, hey, this is who we are. We're gonna try and, you know, score a goal or two a game, and if, you know, we defend well, then that's what we're gonna do. And I it's a bummer because I want to expect more than that, but I think it's who we are.
Yeah. Well, the thing about this game is you have to score goals to win. So, and I'll die on that hill. I will die on that hill. We just got it. We got to score goals. And to your guys' point, the first 20 minutes, there would be it was there. They were going for it. And that's maybe a little bit different than what we've seen in the past. But to what Eric was saying, that might have played exactly into how Nashville wanted us to play. They might have been hoping that we were going to play that way, so might have worked out well for them. Fan TV, I think you're next, and then Ruckus Johnny, and then we'll go to David. Orlando City Fan TV, how are we doing?
We could be better, right?
Always.
Yeah. All right, so this is Zach from OC Fan TV, and then Canado also from OC Fan TV. We're both here. I'm a Chelsea fan, and I'm going to relate this basically directly back to the Chelsea match that we saw this morning. Literally the same result, 2-0 loss at home. We saw one manager know exactly what he wanted to do coming into the match. And let's just say Nationals manager was Unai Emery for Aston Villa. And he knew exactly what he wanted to do. And Graham Potter is still a clueless manager. And here we are with Oscar, who's still clueless as to how he wants to try to fix the problems that we have. But then he also wants to play in the same exact way every single match. And then every manager knows that. So how are we not trying to get better as a team, as a club, if our manager is going to do the same thing every single match and not try to have us improve just as a team in general?
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair, it looked different against Philly. It felt like he had the pressure on, right, and they wanted to do something different. And then today, for the first 20 minutes, we were attacking well, you know, and we were having they were building it up. You could feel the chemistry getting there. And it felt like something was coming, but then just literally one counterattack. That was it, and it was honestly bullshit. The goal shouldn't have counted. It should have been 0-0 at halftime. If we're being honest, but.
Yeah, Alex, I was going to say too. The last two, the goals we scored last week were both counterattacks. So it's, when I talked to the FC Dallas folks, you know, like fans, when we hired Oscar, they called it a counterpunch, not counterattack. Like where you win the ball back and then, you know, be compact, win the ball back and go vertical quickly. That's what we saw last week. So when we're scoring, it's on transition and counters. And today we had the ball in Nashville, and, you know, and we don't have the clinicality to break teams down when they sit back like that.
You just see consistently now in MLS. Yeah, the team with the less possession is winning every time, most of the time.
Yeah, like OC fans, you were talking about today, the Chelsea game. There was a point where Emery had a 6-2-2, six defenders. And on then, what did happen? And you know what's ironic, too? It's a great example. The first goal was a chip.
Yep.
They chipped the goalie over the top and chipped the goalie. Same team. So we scored last week. It was counterattacking, counterpunch goals, and today we just don't have the ability to break them down enough and then finish what we did.
Yeah, this is Kanata here with OC Fan TV, and I see what you guys are saying. I kind of agree with the fact that the last person said, we kind of have to adjust our expectations as a football club. Like you said, FC Dallas, they were saying the counterpunch special. We call it the Poppy special. This is who Oscar Pereira is, and this is who the club is as a team. So we kind of have to adjust our expectations that even though we brought in all this attacking talent, this is just not who we are as a club.
Yeah, I've been saying, well, I believe we score goals when we start scoring goals. You know, I always try to be positive in my predictions, and I wasn't as positive as some, just because, I mean, I think the potential is there, but until we start scoring, until we start scoring goals, I wasn't going to assume all these players would, just because we don't see goals in the system normally. So, you know, we can find contentment. We make the playoffs, make a good cup run. It's not the worst thing in the world. It just depends what your expectations are. Like I said, we could be Brighton or Brentford right now, or we can want to be, you know, Arsenal or Man City or something. It's just a lot of the expectations coming in were Man City, Arsenal, and Man U or whatever. And then, you know, we're kind of Aston Villa, so to speak. So it's just kind of
what you had to bring the Aston Villa back into it. That's just great.
Hey, you put it in my mind.
All right. Yeah, we appreciate the time, guys.
Thanks for coming on, y'all. We appreciate you guys, and thanks for what you guys do. It's always fun to watch. Let me say one thing too. Can we cut it with the short corners and the long throws, man? I mean, two whole seasons we've been doing this, two plus seasons now. They don't work. It don't work. Can we just get an in-swinging corner, please? Just once. Can we just get an in-swinging corner? That would be awesome. And not one. And the thing that's frustrating to me is that when it's the 85th minute and you're down 2-0. That's when we're going to actually do in swinging corners. Why? Because you need a goal. But when it's 0-0 and we need a goal, no, let's try our little short corner act. I mean, it's so painful. That's to me, that's got to be one of the most painful things to watch about Poppy and their game plan. Short corners, long throws. Caesar, you got a cannon, my man. You're great. Honestly, you have a great arm, right? But they don't work. They don't work. And even if they work one time a season, it still ain't worth the pain and the suffering.
Alex, you want short throws, long corners?
Just short throws and long corners. Just kill me. Traditional soccer. I don't need anything innovative. I mean, what are we doing short corners for? When's the last time one worked?
I don't get the fixation on this, to be honest, because every stat shows that teams that are good on the ball, that can pass, do well with short corners. Teams that don't. But in short corners and regular corners convert about the same rate. Neither one of them. When's the last time an in-swinger worked? You know, like neither one of them work. We need to stop relying on goals from corners. Like you try, but I don't think if we did all in-swingers, it's going to make a huge difference because it doesn't really anywhere in the world in any team that I've ever heard of in any significant way. If you know, I don't know. I don't. It just seems like a bit of a trope, the no short corners thing. I don't know.
That Rodrigo goal was to save us last year in the Open Cup was off of an in-swinger, a real corner, because once again, we're in the last 5 minutes and we need a goal because the whole competition decides.
We're not doing a short corner.
So
we did a short corner goal before Mauricio Faku and Mauricio pinged it in and we scored there too. So my point is they convert. It's a rounding error, the difference between the two.
Like, yeah, but if we convert two short corners a year and two long corners a year, but we do the short corner 90% of the time, to me, I'm pretty good at math, and that's just it's just obvious that one of those is more efficient than the other.
No, the numbers of conversion is based on the amount of attempts.
I'm not basing that on other people, on other teams. I'm not basing it on the MLS. I'm basing it on Orlando City. You see other people do the long throw and they have a lot more velocity. It's got not as much arc to it. Caesar does the long throw and he's got to throw it high up in the air. He's got to throw like an NFL quarterback throwing
a cannon. What happened to the cannon?
He can throw it far, but you look at a guy like in the first game, the Red Bull guy, the successful long throws are ones that are bullets in, you know, bullets that are coming in that are really wreaking havoc. The ones that are just floating in, you know what I mean? It's not effective. The throws I've never seen. And to your point, when you're saying like teams that can handle the ball better, short corners work, right? Okay. Yeah. So yes, if we're conceding the fact that short corners are better for us because we handle the ball better, then why are we doing long throws? Why aren't we doing short throws so we can handle the ball better?
There's a reason. I never commented on the long throws for a reason because I didn't have any problem with what you said.
That part to me is so painful. It doesn't add any. It doesn't. It's just salt, more salt. When you're sitting there thinking like, oh, this Poppy ball is so tough to watch, and then I'm sitting there watching Caesar's ninth failed long throw of the match. I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, you know your team has trouble scoring when you're discussing you're hoping for a corner which scores, you know, whatever percent of time or a throw in to be the savior of your, you know, to equal your goals. That's when you know you can't score goals.
Yeah, exactly. Johnny, what's up, my man? First time on. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate you waiting. How you feeling? You're going to have to unmute yourself. I know that this is your first time in Spaces. They automatically mute you. But if you're still ready to come on, man, tell me how you're feeling about that match.
No, I've been on before. I just changed the name because with the whole being on Ruckus. But listen, you know, this fan base, and it's hard to hear personally, like, because I follow this team. We all follow this team. And it's like we have to lower our expectations. Is that what it's come to? Have we really fallen that far to like what is it? It's like the five stages? Like you can't tell me and the front office, and I'm talking like the owners, you spend all this money, and the guys who are coming in from other leagues who are doing really, really well in those leagues, and then they come here and everything is stunted. Tara, Torres. Hey, all of them, everything's getting stunted. There's no tactics going into the 16. This team looks confused. There's no like I got to find the right word for it, but no one's really just pushing forward as a unit. You got people who are playing more individual. You have players who are just not on the same wavelength. They've had all preseason for that. And I understand that some of the players came in later, and that's just, you know, it is what it is. But other teams had that issues too. It's not just us. How come our team is not gelling? How come our team is having this problem? This fan base is absolutely destructive with itself. You got half the fan base who want Poppy out, half the fan base who doesn't want Poppy out but are making excuses for this. I'm tired of coming to the stadium and watching unwatchable soccer. If we were to lose today and we gave it 100%, I mean, we were just didn't work, I would say fine. I'm okay with losing. It's part of the sport. But there's nothing going forward that makes me want to come back. Now, I will always be back. I'm a season ticket holder. I've been a season ticket holder for many years. I sit in an area where there's tons of season ticket holders. I was telling David, because I co-host with him on the other pod, I had two people who have been season ticket holders from 2015. They come to the game all the time. It's an elderly couple. They're really, really nice. And every time the fans would get up out of the stands and leave early, the guy would always say, they're not real fans. They're just spectators. And today was the day that I watched this man get up out of his chair with his wife at the 85th minute and left. And he looked at me and goes, I just can't watch this anymore. You can't go a whole month without winning at home. You can't capture the casual fans. How are the casual fans going to come to the stadium and buy the tickets and buy the merch and buy the food and buy into the system that we are trying to produce? If you can't win at home, we beat up a Philadelphia C team. That's what we did. In the first 10 minutes, we beat them up, and then there was nothing else after that. You know, I the first game we beat the Red Bulls. We off of a penalty kick. How are we supposed to feel good at home when nothing is being produced? How are we supposed to want to come and feel excited? You know, all of us work. The world out there is very scary. And for 90 minutes, you want to come to the stadium to forget your troubles. Forget what's going outside those walls and be entertained. Even this is like, you could even say it's like WWE. You know that even if the guy who you're rooting for is going to lose, and because it's already pre-planned, but they put on a show. They put on a spectacle. That is not what's happening here. This team is not going the distance. And I don't know if – I want to say it's because of the coach. If we're a defensive team, then why did we buy all these amazing attacking players? You know, there's nothing gelling. And I know I may be just spewing out anger towards it, but it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch this team. It's frustrating to watch this team in the last couple minutes trying everything they can from all the mistakes they did. Now, obviously, that didn't happen today because they went down 2-0. And granted, the first goal should never have counted. The ball was still moving. We all saw it. But you have to come back. You have to come back into the game. It sucks that you went 1-0 down. But get your head back in the game. You're a soccer player. That happens. So keep moving forward. Before there was VAR, you had to play the game still. There's no excuses. I don't have any. I love to hear what you guys truly think, that if we are really going to lower expectations after we just spent more money than most teams did, everybody rated us that we had the best offseason ever, and nothing's being produced. Not one thing is being produced.
Yeah, I don't think – I think that it is normal to want to lower your expectations right now. I mean, it feels like if we're driving on a road, you know, it feels like the fork in the road to the left that says, hey, we're going to go do crazy stuff, and the one that says we're going to do what we did years before.
It's been waiting here. We have, okay, we got the whole 90 Minutes crew. I guess we'll go with you next.
I thought I heard Johnny. You. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Johnny, for that, for your impassioned plea. There's a lot of great points in there. We'll go with John and then David next. Go ahead, John, unmute yourself.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, buddy. How are you doing? Good. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Yeah, I wasn't able to make it to the match tonight. My girlfriend and son are sick, so I actually watched it on the TV. And, I mean, offensively, we just looked so lost throughout the whole match. Yeah, we dominated possession. We looked attacking. But you look, we have the ball in the center of the pitch, 20 yards, 30 yards out. Nobody's moving. There's no movement except for straight towards the goal. And as a defender, that's just way too easy for them to defend. You don't have to think. You just follow the man. Let him wander off sides. You know, the long throws, you guys went over it, hit the nail on the head there. Tonight, I think we had one that Nashville didn't clear out within two touches of the ball. They got to stop. The short corners, honestly, don't bother me that much. Man, it is absolutely painful to watch. You know, and as one of the previous speakers said, Corey, you know, I know how I understand how you feel, but as an organization, if they heard you say that, if the front office heard you say that, I would hope they would be devastated, because that's not why you're a fan, or you know, the reason I'm a fan, and I'm sure most people listening are a fan. You know, I'm a fan to support my team, to watch us win, to help us, to help the team do better. And, you know, unfortunately, it's been happening for over a year now, over a season. You know, and there's been one constant in the game. And, you know, I'll get you guys a lot of listens by saying this, hopefully, but I am 100% Poppy out. Nothing against him. He has brought us way further than we ever thought we would go. But, you know, it's like a relationship, that it's a mutual thing. Thank you for what you have done for us, but it's time to move on to the next person, because it's not working out. You can't spend the money the front office has spent this offseason on attacking players and not score goals. The quality we have on the field, we should have won 3-0 tonight. I don't care if it's Nashville. On paper, we have that team beat from top to bottom. And then the last point I wanted to make was why isn't – I just want to know why Anthony Carlos isn't playing. Schlegel killed us again tonight. Yeah, I know the ball was rolling, but whoever it was scored for Nashville the first goal should have never been that wide open. Somebody needs to be following him through there. And from what I saw seeing it on TV – that was Schlegel's man. He should have been following him, and you can't hope and pray for an offsides on that. I mean, there's no excuses for that goal. I mean, the team truly looks lost out there on both ends of the pitch right now. And, it's sad to see, but, thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks, John. Can you hear me, John?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I don't know, because I think Eddie was having a hard time hearing me, but I think I'm back. I'm good back now. But yeah, thanks for your points, John. I mean, I don't think it's – I think we're past the point of being able to, you know, criticize people about being Poppy out. Last year, you know, it might have been borderline. You know, there might have been a hot take or whatever. But this year, I think there's a lot of valid points, because we have new players with the same results, you know. So whether you're Poppy in or Poppy out, or you're Poppy, I don't know. Whether, you know, you just it's okay to be on, I think, any one of those fences at this point, more so than any time before in the history of Orlando City since he's been involved. David, I am wanting to not really end on you, but I'm wanting to bring it all together with you. So before I go to you, let me read some of these comments, because I feel like they'll lead into a little bit. Justin Shirley says, Poppy hasn't shown me anything to want to keep him at this point. I'm thankful for him and what he's done, but it's time to go. We have zero creativity. We subbed Angulo out for Dagger Dan at the 82nd minute. Dagger should have came in way earlier. Angulo should have stayed on. yeah, that's, I mean, I agree with everything that you said there. That's, you know, it's whether you have another, obviously Justin's popping out, but with the Angulo thing, the Dagger Dan, you know, I thought he would come on a little earlier. I think the earliest sub was like in the 70th minute or something like that. Ryan Martinez, we play with no width. There's no structure to our attack. Our outside backs are on an island. Torres, Mauro, Ojeda are floating and clogging the middle. So easy to defend against us. Philly played up wide open. Benefited us at home. Teams will sit back and clog the middle. We played so slow. What happened to the pace and one-touch passes from the match in Philly? I mean, we looked a lot different. And honestly, like was said, the Philly match, it was like the first 10 minutes. And then the last 20 minutes, we looked a little bit. We didn't convert. But the whole middle part of that game, it was a lot of what we saw tonight. Mike Thornhill, at playmaker, wasn't making plays. No looks at Enrique tonight. Corey, the ball goes to the middle to die in our offense. Kind of exactly what Ryan was saying there. Anderson, late April, can't come soon enough. He wants to see Cara back in the starting lineup. All right. I think we're going to end here with our speakers, with David Valentin. My man's been waiting patiently. I know he's been steaming up what he's got to say. Let's hear it, David. I mean, how are you feeling? Were you there tonight? Were you at the match?
Yeah, absolutely. I was there, and I have to say this because you know, I'm not gonna scream, and I am emotionally spent. You guys, I've been through the worst of this club. I sucked that 2018 season like a cheap cigarette, and I still showed up to the games. I remember at the end of the 2018 season, going to the last game, talking to JJ in an empty stadium where like 9,000 people bothered to show up. I remember having that conversation with him that better days laid ahead. The situation, the problem that we've been having with Oscar Pareja is that he has been the common denominator since 2020. Regardless of who's wearing the jerseys, he's the common denominator. The Wolves owe him nothing. The Wolves were not the ones that hired him. And like I have said before, he was the best man for what the old broke leadership could pay for. The league has moved on. The quality of the players has moved on. I don't understand why Atlanta fans can go and demand more of their team and scream and say, I'm not going to renew my season tickets, this, that, and the other. And people laugh at them. But now their team seems to be doing okay. They have an Open Cup. They have a Eastern Conference Championship. And they have an MLS trophy to sit on. Why is it that we have to be super nice, super patient, lower our expectations, always, always, always trying to find ways to cope with the situation? It's clear, friends. You know why it's clear? Because I stood up in Section 3 and I said, if you want to win, you have to make the changes now. Papi out. Did anybody out of the thousands of people around me stood up and said, no, we got to wait for them to jail. It's early in the season. Nobody said that. But they're online. They go and they say these things. I went out and the guys from Orlando City Fan TV made the huge mistake that they always do. They hand me the microphone. And I screamed out loud to the fans that were pouring out of that stadium. If you want to win, you demand that Oscar Pareja is gone. I don't see them firing him because I don't know if we can find a manager that will take over this mess and turn it around. But perhaps they will let the season roll. His contract expires in December. And I will finish with this. Today I saw my two overseas teams win. My English team, Stevenage, who fired Gary Smith, the manager of Nashville, in 2015 for being too predictable, too much of a dumbass. And we saw that in the Open Cup when he takes the foot off the gas and we win that game. I am a firm believer that, and oddly enough, two of my friends from Stevenage were in attendance that night. Oddly enough, if he would have followed through with CJ Sapong and Hany Mukhtar all the way to the 90th minute, we wouldn't be talking about an Open Cup win. Friends, I saw my team, Stevenage, tonight secure its way to promotion when they brought in a manager last year with 7 games left and looking at relegation. I saw my Israeli team, Maccabi Haifa, cruising now on cruise control to a third trophy in a row after sticking with a manager for 5 years that got him into the top three. Wasn't good enough. They made a manager change. They won in 2020. They won in 2021. They won in 2022. And now it looks like 2023 is a fourth. And that same manager took them to UEFA's Champions League. Champions League. First time an Israeli team goes that far. Why is that in Orlando? Why is that in Orlando? We're so loyal to this man. So faithful to this man. When we know that we are not going to win. What you saw this week is the same thing that we're going to see the week after and the week after and the week after. And I finish with this. I read an article about an EPL manager that has retired since, and I can't remember his name. But he said, and he was quoted on the article, saying that his job was to reward the people who work their tails off during the week to pay for that ticket and give them something to cheer about. Has Oscar Pareja has given us anything to cheer about? It's boring, predictable football, week in, week out. We went and spent $30,000 in attacking players, and everybody has said the same thing. Why is it that our DPs have a goal apiece? A goal apiece. I am, you know, I'm so furious because seeing that stadium full and seeing all those fans, loyal fans, and you know what? My threats are empty threats because after paying my bills and having no money, I went and bought that stupid kit with the cow. There's no sacred sea cows in this club. If you want to win, we have to do what he needs to do. What needs to happen is find a manager that is going to take us to the next level. Is that next week? I don't know. Is that in December? Perhaps. All I have to say, friends, is we're going to continue having the same conversations. We're going to be playing the same old tune after every game. You have to win at home. You have to win at home. And Oscar Pereja is not that man. Thank you, Alex.
David, you just made me giggle because the stupid kit with the cow, because I felt the same way at full time because I didn't even get – I'm in Key West, man. I'm at my house, and I couldn't even pick it up. But I ordered that damn thing, and shout out to Zach from the group chat. He helped me out, and he picked it up. But, man, I would be lying if that didn't go through my head too, man. Like, we just sit here, and it's like – you know, I can't buy beers at the stadium, but I buy the tickets even though I don't go. And then I buy the kits and stuff, but then we have 2-0, and it's just painful, man. It's just – it is painful. And tonight was just – it's just kind of like it was a realization. And last week it wasn't painful. It was exciting. And that's football. That's soccer. That's where we're at. And that's specific with Orlando City, man. And I hope that we can have more, you know, joyous times and painful times. But tonight was – was definitely painful. Eddie, you said you wanted to end on – you wanted to say one thing?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we're on Mark's. It's pretty obvious. I bought the cow kit too. So and that's just a fact. Yeah. And second, we could talk about Oscar being their coach for Orlando or not, but I think we could all unify in that he should not be the coach for the Sea Cows because he's 0-1, never won. So Bobby out for the Sea Cows at least.
Yeah, Sea Cows are defeated. They let's hope we don't play a game on April Fools anymore. Good, I'm good about getting rid of the old 4-1 game. So, I think we have 2 weeks off now. We're gonna get well needed rest after a tough start to the season. You know, it's we've scraped and clawed our way through the first couple first 2 months. So. It's been tough, but you know we've packed a lot of games in. We had a good outing in the Champions League. We were coming up to our first little break. You know, Pedro was gone, and we got a good 3 points that we maybe shouldn't have gotten that we wouldn't have thought would have gotten at Philly. But then we've dropped a couple games that maybe we should have gotten more points out of than zero. But tis the game. Tis what we're looking at. Minnesota, I believe, on the road on April 15th. So I believe it's on the road, but I'll have to double check that. But we got 2 weeks, y'all. So enjoy the time off. You know, I don't think there's much debate because, like I said, you know, whether you're poppy in, whether you're poppy out, whether you're I don't know what the hell is going on with this team. I just want it to get better, which is me, to be honest. You know, you want to. It's okay, whichever you are. You know, just be respectful of people's opinions, however they feel about it. You know, and it's not, you know, it's not a bad thing to be loyal to people that, you know, have gotten you places, and it's not a bad thing to want more either. So, you know, there's two sides to every story. So, but we move forward, y'all, and it's a long season. So we're on to Minnesota. We'll move forward. Nashville, you know, came in and they kicked our butts, but they're back in the East, and we'll play them, I think, again, and maybe again in the playoffs. You never know. So, thank you guys for coming out on. We got one more request. One more request. Let me add a speaker here to ZZ. I'll add you in. You're going to end us off to ZZ. Unmute. You got to unmute and then let us know the farewell words. Are you there? No?
Hello. Hey, hi. Hey, hey. So sorry. Sorry for my language barriers. I just don't know how many of you have been watching Magic, Orlando Magic play this season. And also, even they lost a lot of games, right? But just like I say, 95% of the game is winnable. So they are really, really good. Just like I said, they give off, you know, 100%, you know, just like Lucas Johnny say, if, you know, like they fought hard, you know, so we are not complaining. So just like so much, you know, the past two seasons, there's no fun to watch. But Orlando Magic, they're so much fun to watch. Even they lost, but they really, really good. So just like I said, even I said to myself, you know, last game, they win Philly, right, in a row. And even I said to myself, even they lost, I'm really, really, I'm still happy. I'm still happy to see they play the attacking soccer. So that's why, just like I said, you know, when they keep losing, you know, this game wasn't that bad, actually, you know, to be honest, right? But actually, for the past two seasons, you know, even the first couple games is really, really just not fun to watch. Just like, why we adjust, you know, Eddie said, we have to adjust the, like, expectation. Why we're a fan. We pay the, just like we pay the tiki, we pay the order, like, the gas, you know, everything, you know, like I come to the stadium, right? I live so close, you know, I live in 10, 15 minutes, you know, but the lot of fans coming from a half an hour away, drive 1 hour away, why do you know they deserve that? No. So that's why, so I just say, you know, so we, our fans don't deserve, why we need to adjust our expectation. We, you know, if they fall hard, you know, if we see the attacking, we see the, you know, so even they lost, that we're okay, right? So at least we can see. In the, you know, like just friendly, you know, the 2020, just, you know, MS back, you know, so at least, you know, we see the Orlando City game, they are like a, you know, like every game we see, you know, the hope to, you know, to win the game. But just especially last season, trust me, the first four, you know, game, you know, we play well, very bad. Just they cannot, you know, like cannot just, you know, do no more than three passes, we lost the ball. Just, you know, just everybody say, oh, you gel, you know, you need the time to gel. But all the team is the same thing. Is we face the same thing. So why, you know, our teams keep doing bad? So just why we need to adjust the expectation? All the fan doesn't matter anything. You know, the just like a European fan is a lot worse. Just a lot worse than, you know, like, a lot aggressive than us. So we're just too nice. Of course, I'm not a peppy all. I'm not peppy in, but just like I say, our fans deserve more. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you for coming on, and I agree. I think we're all fans, and that's a joyful thing about the podcast, and that's why we do it. And, you know, I could talk for days, and Eddie could talk for days, and Cleon could talk for days, and I think a lot of you guys could talk for days, and that's why we're doing this now, and we just like to talk, and we like to share our feelings, and I think that's important to remember too, and it hasn't been fun to watch, and the fans do deserve better. That's 100% facts. It's okay to boo when you lose 2-0 at home to a half rival that we then don't like, so... thank you for coming on. We appreciate you. Thanks for joining us. And I thank you for everybody for joining us tonight on the Den after dark. We love the contributions. I think tonight we had more than we ever had, and unfortunately it comes after a loss, but that's what this is for, right? And it was, it's for to vent and to share frustrations, and then when we win, it's to share joys and highs and lows, and that's what we do. So we appreciate you guys for coming out tonight, and this will go up on the pod page hopefully tomorrow. And I thank you guys for listening. I know Eddie and Cleon and Mike and JJ and Alex and all of us boys, we appreciate you guys for listening to us in the pod, and thank you guys for coming out tonight. And go City, y'all. Don't get too down, but you know, I don't want anybody to lower any expectations. I think we should all set the same expectations, and like one person said, the front office would be ashamed that they, if they heard that, and I think the players would be very disappointed to hear that too. So let's not get too down, and we'll look forward in 2 weeks and hope that the team comes back refreshed, and let's spank and cheese, you know, Minnesota. We'll take care of business there, hopefully. So thanks again for coming out, y'all. We'll see you next time on the Den After Dark.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.